Okay, well, thanks for joining me for another episode of Canada Does Windows Azure. Today I have Steve with me, and we're going to talk about his solution for the food safety industry, which to me was interesting because I wouldn't have naturally thought about this kind of industry, which is a little bit more traditional and so on and so forth, having solutions in the cloud. So with that, maybe rather than me continuing the intro, we'll let Steve do it. So Steve, welcome. Maybe you can give us a little bit about yourself and the product.
Okay, I'm Steve Burton from Burton Software. I'm a software architect and developer, and I've created an application called Icicle that allows companies involved in the food industry to produce and maintain food safety plans and undertake inspections.
Cool. So then, when you were thinking about developing the application, walk me through some of the thinking behind going to the cloud. What was sort of your deciding factors, and did you consider traditional on-premises deployments before thinking about the cloud?
I actually had quite a bit of experience with food companies because I do a wide variety of technology consulting engagements with all kinds of different companies, primarily manufacturers, and quite a few of them were in the food safety industry. So I was familiar with the people, I was familiar with the types of plants, and I realized that there was a very wide diversity in terms of the technological, both infrastructure and acumen of the different companies that could potentially be customers for Icicle. And I was really interested in fostering widespread adoption. That was my primary goal. So I realized that if I developed a system that had to be deployed on premise, and I wanted to make it a robust enterprise type system, that would cut out the whole end of the market that didn't have the in-house IT and infrastructure to support that kind of application. So pretty much right from the start, I decided that a cloud-based app would be more suitable.
Perfect. So that was more from an infrastructure perspective. Did the development kind of factor into any consideration? Was, how you would develop the application, or developing, I guess, in this case specifically on Azure, was that sort of part of the decision, or as a consequence of the decision?
It was actually definitely part of the decision. I've been moving for a long time towards cloud-based apps. I saw the benefit of it from early on, and actually no longer run a local data center here as I did in the past. So I think I decommissioned, I turned off the last rack about a year ago, and had developed other apps, other applications that were deployed either, hosted in some sort of third-party hosting center, or then later on cloud apps. So I was quite familiar with the technology, but there was one other factor too, is that in the past when I had developed apps that were, SaaS type models, they tended to require large development teams. I mean, I had a team of up to 30 people at one time. And I was looking at some of the technologies that might make it possible to develop an enterprise app with a much smaller team than I'd done in the past. And actually the project, one of the reasons I started developing it in the first place was just kind of an excuse to experiment with some of the new technologies that were out there. And I had developed a lot of applications on Microsoft technologies in the past, but in the prior few projects to this one, I'd actually drifted away from Microsoft, and I'd gone to LAMP Stack and done a bunch of Drupal development, and I'd developed some stuff on Amazon's cloud as well, and also Salesforce's force.com application. I even briefly experimented with Intuit's solution. And at the end of it all, and after looking at all the different options and getting quite far down the road, particularly with force.com, I abandoned those efforts and moved to Azure. And once I'd done a little bit of work with Azure, because I'd been I helped design an application that allowed companies to collect telemetry from sensors and put it up in the cloud and then report on that. So I'd help them do a little bit of the Azure setup and management in the early phases of their app. So I was familiar a little bit with the technology, but I sort of hadn't been back to visit it for a while. And when I came back and I did have a more in-depth look, I was quite taken with the possibilities, and decided to give it a shot. And that was about 14 months ago, I guess, and here I am right now. I guess about 2 months from the initial launch of the first production version of the product.
Cool. So, I mean, and you set me up perfectly for it, because the next question I was going to ask was, did you consider as part of the, part of the architecture and whatever, any other clouds? And if so, why eventually move to Azure? So I think you kind of answered that. I mean, in terms of the fact that you did try Amazon and Salesforce and so on. But what was that deciding factor that ultimately made you abandon those and say, yeah, you know what, Azure's the way I'm going to go?
Well, I started out for this particular project. I originally went to the Google app environment and experimented with bringing up a Google app. And I'm pretty geeky, but it was a little bit too geeky for me. I just,
You're not
you had to
into
manage
the
everything.
Python
It was more
apps?
infrastructure as a cloud. Like
Right.
the Python thing, yeah, that was it really was just wasn't doing it for me. So I didn't spend a lot of time there, probably a few weeks experimenting with that, and then I moved over to look at some other options, and I eventually landed up at Salesforce. And I got quite far down the road there. Actually, had a prototype app up and running and functional on the Salesforce's platform, which is called Force.com. And I ran into some egregious technical limitations that weren't quite obvious at the beginning, but killed me later. And one of the big ones was the issue that there's no inheritance model really. So if you're trying to develop an application where it's natural to have inheritance and you don't have the inheritance infrastructure, then you have to sort of kludge it together by having sort of master detail relationships or something like that. And in the early stages of the project, it kind of looked like it might be possible to do that. But the further I got into it, the more extra code I had to write, and then you can't do cross-table joins either in their environment. So you end up having to do multiple query hits in order to kind of programmatically construct a result that you could do with a robust relational database management system in a single shot. And I beat my head against that wall for definitely long enough, and then decided, just even though I'd invested a considerable amount of time and effort into it and money, that it just wasn't going anywhere.
So
So
it
it
sounds
worked.
like at the end of the day, you were hit with more constraints than we'll call it opportunities or positive things.
Yeah, and cost was another issue. As I got more into it and I looked at sort of what the resources were and how the application was going to scale, I realized that I was going to basically end up being a salesman for Force.com. And yeah, didn't want to do that. So.
Fair enough. As we're digging a little bit deeper into sort of the technical aspects of the product, walk me through sort of what you're using today from the platform. What does the infrastructure look like?
Okay, so it's built on MVC4, C Sharp application, and it's deployed on SQL Azure.
Cool. And then the front ends are web front ends, I'm assuming.
Yeah, at the moment, the current iteration, it's entirely web front end, so it's using Razor in the front, and yeah, all web based.
And then all web roles to support, effectively the infrastructure of that with SQL Azure as the backend.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. Yeah.
Okay, and then to confirm that SQL, so the Windows SQL databases, or yeah, Windows Azure SQL databases versus SQL Server in a virtual machine.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's doing at the moment. I've actually designed the system in such a way that it could be deployed on premise if it was actually required, and then I'd have to switch it over to run on SQL. But I don't have any implementations like that at the moment. It's purely a cloud-based app. And the more I'm now deploying to clients and getting sort of feedback, the more I'm realizing that that was a good choice, and don't really plan on doing any on-premise implementations.
Well,
The
but
reason.
the nice thing is, though, technologically, if you're able to go back and forth, which, if you think about it, I'm not going to mention names, but some of the other cloud platforms don't really lend themselves well to that, then at this point, yeah, you're doing all cloud-based, but who cares? Eventually, you can do either or.
And that did play a factor in deciding to go with Azure. Initially, when I first looked at the application, during the application, I did some market research. And interestingly, the first group of customers that I dealt with were very conservative in terms of the cloud, and were really worried about putting their proprietary information on there, and that played a kind of a central theme in what I was hearing back. And so that's why I developed it so that it could, if it absolutely required, have to be developed on premise. Now that we've gone through the beta phase and we're into the early production customers, when you talk about people actually signing up for it, so far I haven't run into anybody that brought that up, which is interesting.
Perfect. So now, from a technical perspective, as you and the team were ramping up in terms of actually developing, and you had just made the decision to go to Windows Azure, and you knew that that was going to be the platform of choice. What was the ramp up like, both in terms of time, but also how did you actually, I'm going to say, acquire the knowledge to be able to work the Azure platform, or was it the same as what you were used to?
It wasn't really the same as what I would used to. I had a little bit of an introduction with it before because, like I said, I did help set one company up before. So it was a bit of a learning curve. The new interfaces with Azure, though, made it much, much easier. And I didn't really, there was tutorials available online. There was some documentation from Azure. The Stack Overflow site that I've heard others on your program mention before was really quite informative. And I didn't really need too much help setting it up. And actually, I mean, from an architect's perspective, what I used to do was, design the application, and then my specialty is database design, really. So, I used to start at the data model, and this is the first project where I used a code first
Oh yes, which of course
implementation.
rocked your world because
It
it's effectively going backwards from what you're used to.
was backwards, but I'm also, fairly adept at the development of the object model. So I didn't really have any trouble transitioning between those. And just being able to, press a button and run a migration, and particularly with the new migrations that came out in the newest version of Visual Studio, the ability to be able to, tweak the object model, run a migration and update the data model automatically has just been a really a dream. And it's been making it so that I can do deployments like, sometimes several times a day, as opposed to, the long, laborious process that it was in the past. And I should mention that I was able, as an architect, to develop the application without any development support from any other developers,
Nice.
which there's no way I could have done that in the past. Obviously, you have to be a developer in order to do that yourself, but it's so much less infrastructure. I mean, all the CRUD, the create, read, update, and delete functionality just comes right out of the box. So you don't have to touch any of that, which dramatically reduces the deployment time.
Well, and that's the thing too, is that a lot of people, when they're thinking about, what they could do with the platform and just thinking about kind of transitioning from their existing world into what we'll call it the cloud world, or in this case the Windows Azure world, there is a perception that a lot of it is going to be different simply because the infrastructure is different, when in reality, I mean, you said it yourself, it's not that big of a deal.
No, it's yeah. The paradigm is the same, except easier and simpler to deal with, and there's less moving parts that you have to manage. And the whole idea, I mean, the whole database administration part, I used to have an IT, full-time IT person, a full-time DBA working for me.
Just to manage those aspects.
Yeah, and now I have neither. So I really miss them, but
Miss the
I don't
missed
miss writing
people,
the
but
paychecks.
perfect. And then, in terms of the actual deployment, and or we'll say the redeployment every time that you have to do that, would you say, like, is that a complicated process, or is it, again, no different than you would with a typical on-premises system? It's just you're deploying it somewhere else.
Yeah, it's a very simple process. I actually run three environments, well, sort of two and a half environments in Azure. I've got three instances of SQL Server, of Azure SQL, or whatever you decide to call it today. I have two cloud services that run. So I've got, and then so on my local, development workstation is where I have the development application server running. And then the IIS developer instance that comes out of the box with Visual Studio, I connect to a cloud-based based database for my for the development. So typically I'll do three deployments well, I'll actually develop first of all in the development environment, then I'll deploy to a QA environment. I actually have two QA teams working for me at the moment. So one I have locally, one I have in Europe, so that I have some time shifting happening, and I can test the application, basically 18, 20 hours a day, and I'll deploy it to the QA environment. Have people run the scripts and make sure the application's stable, and then I'll do exactly the same deployment again to the production system. So one of the advantages is you create the migration once locally, and then you can just run, and you don't even have to really create that. It detects it automatically. And sometimes you do have to go in and tweak the migrations, though. They don't automatically happen. And what I mean by migrations is the scripts that's running behind the scenes in
Right.
order to update the data model. And but once you've created it once and you've deployed it, at the for the local machine, for example, then you use the same migration again and just run it again. Press the button, and it deploys it in the QA environment, and then a third time for production. And you don't even have to necessarily, go through the whole process with each migration. You can create it once, in the development environment, and then you can, add on, create five, six, and then just run them all at once against QA in production if you want to. So you're not limited, and it's extremely flexible in that regard.
Perfect. I mean, it sounds to me, it sounds like a developer's dream, but also specifically when you're in the smaller companies and you're wearing multiple hats and stuff like that, for all of that to just be seamless is a bonus, right? You're focusing your time on building your application as opposed to all the other stuff that's all around it.
That's entirely true. I mean, yesterday, for example, I was doing user testing with some groups of very highly expert users that have been using the system, and they told me that there's a feature that they absolutely must have that was just a few lines of code for me. So I was able to actually write that, and deploy it for them, and I just that it was 10 minutes start to finish, and then their must-have feature was there at their fingertips. So
Perfect.
it was a Can't do that in any other platform, as far as I'm aware.
That's awesome. I mean, that's to me, and naturally, that's where the industry is going anyway, right? There's that expectation for you to be that agile and that nimble in how you work, such that when I as a customer say, "Hey, I want this," you need to be able to deliver. And for the longest time, we couldn't do that as developers or software product companies because the platforms were just not there to support that kind of behavior.
Yeah, and you could imagine what would happen if I had on-premise implementations. I mean, best case, they have to connect and run an update, which typically wouldn't happen more than once a month. And worst case, I'd actually have to visit them and stick a disk in the drive in order to make things happen. So
Cool.
there's the agility that this provides is really quite a benefit, I think.
So now let me ask you this. You're going to put your developer slash architect hat on, and think about you as a person, not necessarily now about the application. You obviously had done software for several years before going through and creating this one, and so obviously that's years of experience with a specific type of call it development environment. Now you're coming into this world, into the cloud world, and you're having to learn new APIs and so on and so forth. For you though, like what is that experience like? Is it exciting? Is it problematic? What if I'm thinking about migrating my skills, I guess what's the best advice you can give me for me as a person?
Well, if you're in software, and you're hesitant about learning new APIs and new technologies, I think you're in the wrong business. So, one of the things that one of the costs of being in software development is that every project is a new learning experience, and that's what excites me and energizes me. I love learning new technologies. I like to see the way that things are evolving, and to be able to take advantage of them and deliver, products that delight customers.
Simple as that. And up until now you've been talking about this, and obviously it sounds like it's been a very positive experience and so on, both for you and the product itself. Flip it over for me on the other end. Surely there had to be some sort of not so pretty things, or maybe some things that you learned the hard way that if you can point out to those watching, this particular session, they'd be like, "Oh yeah, let me tell you about this before you figure it out the hard way."
Yeah, just before we go there, let me add one more thing to that last
Sure.
bit about the ease of learning it is that I do have a son that's a web developer and more of graphic design side. He's doing web development as well, and he has really no technology background whatsoever and no experience. And I connected him using Azure the website functionality so that he can use Visual Studio and deploy to Azure. And here's somebody that was starting from zero and has several successful sites up and running with very little intervention from me. I mean, I
Nice.
spent literally 15 minutes showing him how to do it the first time. And after that, he's totally on his own. So it is really intuitive. Obviously, if you're getting into enterprise applications where you're dealing with complicated object models and taking advantage of APIs and all of that, then that you're going to need some background and some experience from that. In terms of other people starting it, though, I mean, if you have a solid foundation in C Sharp or I imagine VB.NET. I haven't tried applications on that, but I think if you start from there and you have a reasonable amount of acumen with that language, you can use Azure probably without too much in terms of additional skills at all. There were some learning curves that I had to go through and just about how to set it up, how to connect things at the first. So I spent a lot of time buried in tutorials, figuring out how to get things connected. A lot of times it turned out to be too simple, and I would be looking for a complicated solution, and then I would realize that, oh, this is just unbelievably simple.
I guess
There were some
that's a good
problems.
problem to have though, eh? When you over-engineer something and you're like, "Wow, I can't believe I overthought that."
Yeah, that does happen. The migration mechanism for SQL Azure was in the 2010 version of Visual Studio, you had to wipe the data model in order to update the in order to run a migration, and that was a major flaw in that system. And that during the development period, it wasn't bad because I was there was no production data anyway, so if I nuked the database every time, it was totally fine. But I was really worried about what was going to happen when I got into a production environment, and I was really happy to see that the 2012, I believe, version of SQL of Visual Studio solved that problem, and now you can do incremental updates.
Perfect. And then anything else in terms of, I guess you would say, sort of last pieces of advice or anything like that for someone that's either considering trying out Windows Azure or how they should try out Windows Azure, or ideally, or I mean, you could come back and say, don't try it at all, but it doesn't sound like we're going to go there.
No, I would definitely recommend it. I think that you shouldn't. If you're going to, develop an application on Windows Azure, you need to really focus on developing a tight object model. You need to. I would strongly recommend that people, look at whatever business problem that they're dealing with and try to model it as much as it is in the real world as possible. Don't think too much upfront about the interfaces or functionality or the data model at the back end. Don't get encumbered by those requirements. Just try to model really the core of whatever it is that you're trying to represent in your application, and then move from there. I think there one thing I would think is that like one mistake maybe that I made. I don't think it was really a mistake, but
There's no
I
such thing
did.
as mistakes. There's opportunities to learn.
Well, I did use, I have to confess to you, I did use a hybrid solution for one aspect of the application, which was file storage. Because originally when I started the Azure, the cost for file storage was much higher than it is today. So I used another cloud for my file storage, and the price has come down now to the point where it's competitive. So I probably wouldn't do that again. I would try to focus on consolidating the infrastructure in one location rather than distributing it, because that does add a significant amount of complexity to the application.
Though, interestingly enough, though, possible, right? If that's what you need it to be, that's what you need it to be.
It is entirely possible, yeah, and works quite seamlessly, really.
I know a lot of people have concerns that when, this whole lock-in type of concept where, just because you're using Windows Azure, for example, doesn't mean you can't use anything else, doesn't mean you can't go on-premise, doesn't mean you can't go to different clouds. But I mean, you just said that you did it, so it works.
Yeah, I did it for file storage and actually email services as well. I don't think Azure has that yet. And then now there's new functionality coming out in Azure. I notice every time I go in there, there's some new option on the side there. I haven't even had time to do a deep dive in it. There may be more stuff that I should be using that I'm not even aware of yet. So.
Now, since you brought it up, does that worry you that the platform's constantly changing, there's new features being added, or is that something that you're kind of like, well, yeah, that's kind of cool?
Yeah, no, it's not just kind of cool. I think that that's becoming an expectation, and I think that the rate of that kind of change is accelerating. And I think that what we in the past, we'd go to study, get our degree in software development or computer science, and then we'd have that load of information in our head that we would subsequently apply. And I think that paradigm is really changing. I think now it's a matter of finding what you need when you need it, using it, and then moving on to the next technology as soon as possible. And if I have to be like that in order to be competitive, I expect the partners that I work with and the platforms that I use to also, have that pace of innovation.
Amazing. Last question for you, just because it usually comes up, so I figure I'm going to ask anyway. Any concerns that you have with the platform? I know some people bring up, data concerns or privacy concerns, security concerns. Anything that comes top of mind, and if there are, how are you working around it?
There are definitely concerns. I've done, for example, a substantial amount of work for government, and governments and larger corporations are really worried about the Patriot Act and where is the information stored and can governments access it, and is it generally, security in general is really a major problem. The way that I typically characterize the situation to my clients is that that if you use this infrastructure, the data centers where the information is stored has a much higher security standard than your desktop computer, for example, where otherwise you'd probably be using managing all the information containing in an Excel spreadsheet or whatever, because that's primarily
Not
the
that anyone would ever do
Well, that is actually
that.
what a lot of people are doing in order to manage their food safety information today, which is kind of surprising. But so just convincing people, and I did contact the Azure group when I started, because I wanted to be able to get the background information on okay, what exactly are the security measures that take place, so that I know that you're At the in the data center, there's only a couple of very senior individuals that actually have access to data, and the information that's transmitted between machines in the data center is routed in the most efficient possible way to avoid having to go through too many hands in order to get to its destination. So
Right.
I think there are sufficient measures that take place. I think that from my client base, they're either going to buy into the idea that it's secure enough for their purposes and go for it, or they won't, and they'll want an on-premise implementation. I haven't run into any situation where somebody's saying, "Well, the cloud's okay, but Azure's not," right? That hasn't happened to me so far. If you're they're a very large corporation and they're worried about having information accessible by the U.S. authorities and all that kind of thing, because of the Patriot Act, this type of solution isn't for them. I personally think that that's a little bit of paranoia. Like I did, I started to look into a project. I was creating the RFP for a project here in British Columbia for the Justice Institute, for example, where they had public video where they wanted to have the renderings of trials. And so they'd take a video clip of the judge rendering the verdict in a trial, and they would post it publicly online. And one of the requirements under the RFP was it couldn't be hosted in the States because they didn't want the US government to get a hold of these tapes, but they were published publicly anyway. So to me, it seemed like a very
Conflicting a
ridiculous
bit.
problem. So, But you know, if that is their policy, and you know their primary driver is you know bureaucratic rules, then you know that solution couldn't be for them. But I think you know probably 95 or 98% of the clients that are out there, it's not too much of an issue, as long as you can convince them that their data is secure from malicious users or from competitors that might want to get a hold of the
Right. And at
mainframe.
the end of the day, I love how you said it. More chances are these data centers are probably more secure than what they can come up with anyway. I mean, I know I certainly say that about myself. I come from a running a data center sort of background, and even then I could say, yeah, you know what? Like, there are some really smart people behind this stuff. Like, they can definitely do a better job than I ever could. So
Yeah, I know the like a couple, I guess a month ago or something. Maybe I shouldn't mention this, but the Azure, you know, system came down briefly, or part of it did, because
yep.
of some expired security certificate. And it was funny because when I was doing the CTO VP thing for a bunch of companies in the past, several times I had that same problem when I had in-house IT happen, where you know mission critical systems would come down.
Listen, at the
So
end of the day, systems are systems, right?
it can happen anywhere, yeah. And you know, the fact is, managing local IT and IT resources, unless if you're a huge company like Microsoft, I mean, you've got 10,000 people in your data center, it's not an issue. But you know, for the average company that's out there, even a significant company like somebody up to 500, you know, employees, they're going to have one or two IT resources. You know, there's a lot of proprietary knowledge that are held by a few key individuals, and as a software developer, sometimes that was a major issue. Like you get a you know your IT guy or your DBA who has a chip on his shoulder, it's really really hard to get anything done. So having this infrastructure all managed in the cloud and just removing that from the equation completely adds a lot of flexibility, I think.
Perfect. Well, I mean, that was it for me. Any last words from your perspective in terms of for the developer audience?
Well, I think if you have an application that lends itself to a cloud-based implementation, don't be afraid to give it a try.
Simple as that. And the best way to do that, of course, is that if you have your MSDN benefits, that's all included in there. If not, there's always a trial, so or the 90-day trial. So either way, you're covered. Perfect. Well, with that, thank you so much, Steve, for walking us through it, giving us your personal opinions. I think it's always, as I said at the beginning of the show, it's always good to hear it from people who are actually using this stuff, as opposed to, well, I mean, to be honest, listening to me all the time. So, so thanks again. Really appreciate it, and good luck with the product. And hopefully, as you continue to evolve what it does and use more of the platform, we'll have you back on here to tell us some more.
Okay, excellent.
Awesome. Thank you so much.